We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's all hard from the time that the children are conceived. It's all hard. It gets easier in the latter years when your children grow up and become self-sustaining and, as I say, self-cleaning. But up until that point, it's difficult. The infancy is difficult. Teenage years are difficult. We think about all of those things. And then there are those notoriously difficult times, the toddlers. We even have terms for it, like the alliterative terrible twos, when they can run around and they can think for themselves, but not very well, and they're dangerous, and they are difficult, and they're unpredictable. We're going to begin a conversation, part one of Living with Toddlers. Anna Mussman joins us. She's a stay-at-home mother of two children, an author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Proven Ways to Stop Complaining and Enjoy Your Toddlers. Anna, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much for having me.
You've got two of them running around in your house. How challenging can it at times be?
Well, it entirely depends on the day. There are days when I sort of feel like, my goodness, you know, why do people say that this is so hard? They're so cute. Everything is wonderful. And then there are days, I think especially if I didn't sleep quite as much, when I realize that they are completely crazy people. They're cute, but they're completely crazy. And dealing with them is very interesting, and it can be very challenging, especially, I think, because as a mother, if they are misbehaving and I don't know how to make them do what they should in that moment, it can feel like I'm not doing my job. So it can be stressful as well.
Is part of it that, I mean, just the very name toddler suggests that they are highly mobile. They're also, as you said, crazy. They have crazy amounts of energy, short attention spans, easily distracted, easily incited to fits of anger, rage, sorrow, whatever the emotions are. They're really kind of humanity all laid out there on the plate for us, aren't they?
They are. And they have not learned that they should even try to hide any of their humanity. So yes, it's very true. I can look at them and I can see all of my own worst faults that I'm good at hiding right there on display. But at the same time, you know, they're also learning and growing and demonstrating good attributes in a very sweet way as well.
Let's talk about some of the advice that you offer here. You call it proven ways to stop complaining. That's one thing, but also to enjoy these toddlers in our homes. And you say the one very basic kind of biological need is sleep.
Oh, absolutely. And it can be difficult as moms to get sleep. It can be difficult as parents to get sleep. And sometimes we just can't help being a little sleep deprived. But I've also noticed a lot of my peers, a lot of other moms, feeling like they need time after their children goes to bed, and they tend to stay up late. I do this myself sometimes. I'm on Facebook, or I'm watching a movie, or I'm trying to write something, and I realize that I'll actually enjoy being a mom much more if I work on getting that sleep.
So basically, is it safe enough to say not only get enough sleep at night, but if they happen to both magically be asleep at the same time in the Mussman house, you might consider taking a nap too?
My husband would tell me that I should. I don't. I probably should, but I go to bed early instead.
You also say be honest with yourself. What do you mean by that, Anna?
I find that a lot of parents will talk about their children in ways that don't make a lot of sense if you think about it. You'll hear a lot of moms say that, oh, you know, my kids don't let me do X, or my kids insist that we have to watch this movie every night. And it's a very interesting kind of phenomenon because, of course, our toddlers, they can be loud and so on, but they're very, very small, and they're actually completely at our mercy. And I think as parents, we start casting blame and we start making excuses and making it sound as if we are the victims of these children, when we would actually resent them much less if we would think about our situation and honestly assess why are we making the choices that we are making, and either take responsibility for, yeah, I've decided I'm going to let my kid watch this cartoon this afternoon because, you know, I need some peace and quiet, or realize that we have the power to tell them, no, you're not going to watch a movie this afternoon, and we may need to acquire the skills that we need to teach them to accept our word. So I think if as parents, if we are willing to really be honest with ourselves, sometimes it just means that we need to take responsibility for our choices, but sometimes it means we need to recognize that we need to learn how to do something better in our parenting. Maybe we need to learn some additional child discipline skills. Maybe we need to learn some management, but it's a good way to help us find solutions instead of just blame our children.
And I wonder if the way we talk about those situations, they wouldn't let us do that, or they have to have this kind of things, that language itself tends to shape, at least in our minds, the relationship into a situation that we complain about. In other words, it's a kind of language, it's easy to complain when we think of it that way.
Yes, absolutely. And there are certainly a lot of proverbs about how people in general who think that the world is full of horrible people tend to be somehow the sort of person who ends up in that situation through their own actions. I saw an article by a woman who was angry at hearing that toddlers don't have to be horrible, and she had posted a lot of pictures of her child tantruming, saying, oh, look, this proves that the terrible twos exist. But it was interesting that she's trying to say, oh, because I don't know how to manage my child, that proves that no child can be managed.
I'm also wondering about the kind of down-to-earth situations that parents find themselves in where the kid does throw a tantrum. And the easy thing to do is often the worst thing to do, and the hardest thing to do there is often the very best. Does a little long-term thinking come into play here? In other words, I'm not going to go for the immediate gratification. I'm going to do the hardest thing against my every fiber of my being. I'm going to do the hardest thing here for the long-term good of both of us.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's where, again, this thinking about long-term honesty can be very helpful. And thinking about your child as somebody that you want to nurture and raise and teach, and not slipping into the mindset of, oh, toddlers are terrible, I just need to sort of put on my hard hat and get through a couple years doing whatever it takes, cookies, stickers, cake all the time. That if we can stay in that mindset of thinking about the future, that can really help us be present in the moment and think about what our child really needs in the long term. And as you say, it's very hard sometimes to do that, especially as a new parent. You know, when my son was a baby, he would want me to pick him up, and he would come up and bite me on the leg. And, of course, I would say, no, you know, no biting. And he would cry. And then I would pick him up. And in my mind, I was just comforting him. But my husband pointed out that I was actually sort of reinforcing in his little mind this idea that, oh, you bite mommy, and then you get picked up. So I was actually falsely communicating to him that this was a good thing to do. It would have been unfair of me to blame him for that. And I actually needed to just walk away, which meant that I suffered a little bit emotionally. It was hard to hear him cry and to walk away from him. But in the end, that's what I needed to do, to be honest with him about how we should behave and what a good way to behave is.
You cite that as an example of what you call accidental lying.
Yes. I think we could pull an analogy from romantic relationships. Sometimes people don't want to speak out to their romantic partner, and they don't want to say, you know, when you do X, it really bugs me. They kind of make passive-aggressive jokes or things like that. And I think sometimes as parents, we end up miscommunicating with our children in the same way, and then we can feel resentful when what we really should be doing is thinking about what are we doing that's communicating to them and what message are they taking away. And sometimes we do this in subtle ways and sometimes obvious ways. And we certainly, I'm sure we can all think of parents that we've seen hand out cookies to their children after they've said no cookies, just because the child kept asking and kept asking. And the parent is probably not thinking about what are they teaching the child by giving in at that point.
Behind all of that, Anna, it seems to be the idea, a good thing to remember as a parent, is that you as a parent are the responsible adult. You are responsible for your child's behavior. You may not be able to control it, but you are responsible for it. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of a scary thought. It's kind of a scary thought to think that I am the person in charge of these children. But at the same time, I am the adult. As you say, I am the one with a lot of life experience, and it is my job to try to teach them what they need. And I have found that a good way to think about that is in the long term. If I think to myself that, oh, you know, if I'm a failure, if my child acts up in church and I have to take him out in disgrace, that's going to be very discouraging. But I have to think with that long picture about this moment where I take my child out of church is part of teaching him what to do. It's part of showing him how to behave, and it's part of this whole long haul of doing the difficult work of taking small people and sometimes making them do things that they don't want to do, sometimes having fun with them, but always trying to work with them and help them grow into the human beings that we are aiming for.
Next time on part two of our interview with Anna Mussman on living with toddlers, we're going to be talking about the difference between management, teaching, and discipline. Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two children and author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife. She recently wrote a column for The Federalist titled Seven Proven Ways to Stop Complaining and Enjoy Your Toddlers. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, are the anti-Trump demonstrations that have continued since the election, are they at their root in some way religious? Martin Cothran will join us, author of a recent column for Intellectual Takeout titled The Real Reason for Anti-Trump Demonstrations. Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's spiritual journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.